Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Up next, bees and honey go together like bread and butter. But the bee has a huge role beyond producing something sweet, one that has huge implications for the backyard and commercial gardener alike. Lisa Brautz explores all things bees in her latest edition of In My Backyard.
My cucumbers have been a massive disappointment this garden season. The plants don't look all that healthy. There are way more male flowers than female flowers. And the female flowers, which supposedly bear the fruit, they're not. It could be this summer's heat. It could be a bad set of seeds. And I do admit to some benign neglect. But it could also be a lack of pollinators, specifically bees, in my part of the neighborhood. See, I need pollinators to come into my backyard and move pollen around from plant to plant, thus nudging my food-producing plants into, well, producing food. But actually, we all need pollinators to do their thing, because if they didn't, it would be a huge problem, agriculturally speaking. Bees have been on the decline for the past several decades for many reasons, but in 2006, the decline sped up. We started hearing about colony collapse disorder, a bizarre phenomenon where entire populations of adult bees would just disappear and die off for no apparent reason, leaving behind the hive's queen, unhatched bees, and food stores. This wasn't happening only in some far-off land either. This was, and still is, happening in the United States, wiping out entire colonies of bees in some states. Experts still don't really know what causes it. The appearance of colony collapse disorder shed new light on the practice of commercial beekeeping, of course, and how large-scale keeping of bees can affect large-scale agriculture. But it also dovetailed with the burgeoning interest nationally in local food, gardening, and related DIY projects. Robbie Nagel keeps bees in Urbana, where his friend J.P. Gogan lives, a large house backed up onto a few acres and a huge garden not far from downtown.
It goes along with a resurgence in local food systems and people saying that they want their own gardens. This is sort of the next step because honeybees and pollinators are so important for a lot of our food. So it goes along, people say, oh, I want a garden, I have a garden, that's great. And then people say, oh, okay, now my garden needs to be pollinated, and what can do that? Honeybees.
Robbie's grandfather kept bees for 30 years as a hobby. When he decided to get out of it, Robbie asked for all of his beekeeping equipment so he could learn how. Just like when I asked my grandmother to send me all of her old wooden knitting needles after she gave up knitting. Robbie's grandfather, like my grandmother, was happy to give him the tools he needed. In Robbie's case, those included hives and frames, a bee smoker, and some bee tools. He even gave Robbie a few bee suits and hats and veils. You have to wear this stuff if you want to deal with bees. And even then, there's no guarantee you won't get stung. Lately, I've been wondering if I should add a hive to my backyard situation, what with all my spare time and lack of cucumbers, so I decided to pay Robbie and JP a visit to see what it entails. After a short interview, Robbie invited me to suit up. I asked him to describe what that means.
Yeah, for us it means a full suit, head to toe, with a veil and gloves. And some beekeepers don't wear veils. I've seen that before. Some beekeepers don't wear gloves. I've seen that before. This is only my going on my second year, so I prefer the full suit and veil until I get more comfortable with it.
Right. I opted for the suit. It wasn't the best day to check on bees. It was hot and overcast, and there was a stiff breeze. JP, who takes care of the bees when Robbie's not around, was working the smoker. Smoking the bees in their hive disrupts their communication with each other and causes them to eat a bunch of honey, which calms them down. That allows the beekeepers to do their work, and in JP's case, forego the bee suit. Today, Robbie was pulling frames out of the hive to check for honey, and he was impressed with the results.
I put this honey super on 2 weeks ago. It was completely empty. Just nothing on there. Brand new. And,
Oh, wow, it's already capped.
They've drawn it out. We call that snow white comb because it's brand new. The comb can get dirty as the bees walk on it more. And
this is a great shot.
This looks really nice. I'm really surprised that they were able to do this in a couple of weeks.
I learned from Robbie and JP that keeping bees in a residential urban area is actually really good for the bees and good for making honey, thanks to the huge variety of plants that are grown by people in their gardens. Outside of town, where people grow lots and lots of one or two things, there isn't as much in the way of plant diversity for the bees. Bees can also be harmed by crop dusting in rural areas, so keeping them in town might be safer for them, too. The one thing urban dwellers wanting to keep bees might have to reckon with, though, is neighbors. Fortunately, JP's neighbors and housemates are cool with it. Beekeeping culture is alive and well in Urbana-Champaign, too, with the Central Eastern Illinois Beekeepers Association around for assistance, education, and inspiration for bee geeks of all ages, even those who don't have their own bees. They can use this informal network to share equipment and advice and mentor each other, too. Maybe it's not the same as having a grandpa show you the ropes, but it helps. I might decide to go for it if I can clear it with my family and the neighbors. Yep, I've scoped out the perfect location for a hive in my backyard. Stay tuned.
Lisa Broth's stories can also be heard on our website, WILLAG.org. Click on the In My Backyard link in the right navigation window. And you can read her occasional blogs at majorprogression.wordpress.com. If you have an idea for an In My Backyard, email us at willagstaff@illinois.edu or call us at 217-333-7300.